The Netball Show with Flyhawk. Raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
It's Andy, and welcome to the Netball Show with Flyhawk. And finally, the week that we'd all been waiting for. One that saw joy, disappointment. There was lots of questions raised by coaches and players. We saw the loss of one of the most successful teams in the league to date. And we saw the news that there'll be new teams involved from next year, and that reduction from 10 teams to 8. The next phase of the Netball Super League will start in 2025 here in the UK. The MD of the Netball Super League is Claire Nelson, who spoke to the BBC.
We were delighted after 9 months of a really robust and quite detailed and often challenging tender process. We announced the 8 clubs who have been successfully awarded a place to participate in the newly relaunched league next year. We've got to be transformational yet sustainable. So the clubs that we've selected need to make big leaps next year. And it's all about the fan proposition and the product. We want to really drive that on-court product and proposition so we have fans show up week in, week out. We create this amazing broadcast property. We're going to move more of our games into arenas. Hopefully, at least 50% of games are played in arenas, all of them available to watch. So these are big, big steps forward, but we can't do it all from day one. So whilst we're driving these improvements in the product and the game, whilst we will be paying our players more, we can't do everything on day one. So hopefully if we get this right, we can grow the fan power. We've got 3 million people playing our sport week in, week out. If we can start to transfer them into real fans of this incredible product, it will start to unlock the commercials. And hopefully it doesn't take us 10 years to get there, but we've got to be smart.
England Netball CEO is Fran Connolly, who explained more about the teams moving forward.
It's been incredibly difficult to make some of these decisions. It's a day that we want to celebrate, but it's a day that we absolutely have to recognise the tremendous efforts that have taken place across those 4 clubs to not just drive the sport forward for the duration of time they've been in the league, but to share their ambitions for the future. And the decision wasn't taken lightly to turn down any club. And we would not simply be able to have taken this step if it hadn't been for the work they've done to date. So we are committed to building on their legacies to drive the sport forward. And what's been really heartwarming is, despite the disappointment, all clubs that are exiting have shared the same vision for the sport. Not all clubs were able to meet the standards necessary to take the next step, but they all recognise that it's right for the sport. And I think Seven Stars, I'm really, really pleased that they will still be retained as part of the sport going forward. They've done tremendously, both on and off the court, over the last 8 years since they joined the Super League back in 2017. And not just on the elite stage. You know, we've seen them really propel their performance in the last 2 years. But also we've seen them do some brilliant community work, reaching deep into communities, growing the pathway across the West Midlands region and giving opportunities to young girls and inspiring them to want to take to court and look at netball as a professional career. So I'm really thrilled that they're going to be part of the future through a partnership that they're working through at the moment with the new entity, which is Birmingham Panthers. Birmingham Panthers will still be taking matches to the Worcester Arena. It means that fans that have been so loyal over the last couple of years can still turn up and watch brilliant netball.
Birmingham Panthers are one of the new sides joining. And Fran explained more.
We're really excited about this new entity. It is headed up by 2 female founders that have been highly successful in the corporate world and in the netball world. And they've already managed to attract significant interest, significant investment, and secure some really exciting partnerships that I'm sure they're sharing in the not too distant future. And we know that Birmingham has been fantastic over the years for netball. We saw 160,000 fans flock to Resorts World in Birmingham for the Commonwealth Games just a couple of years ago. And actually, we're taking the grand final of Super League to the same place, the Resorts World in Birmingham, just a couple of weeks' time. And it's already our fastest selling and our biggest selling grand final, which is fantastic. So we know fans want to turn up to Birmingham. We know that it's a destination that resonates with the netball audience. And I think across the Birmingham Panthers bid, what they were able to show us is a real mix of how they're going to take big arena matches to that utilita in the centre of Birmingham, but how they're also going to take further matches across other venues like University of Worcester, like potentially University of Warwick. and some other smaller venues. So as part of their business plan, they've been able to demonstrate a really clear audience growth strategy that excited all of us on the panel.
And Claire Nelson recognises the importance of building on that UK netball fan base.
We have 3 million people playing this sport. Behind men and women's football combined, then men and women's cricket combined, comes netball. And we're 52% of the population. And so as we emerge on this journey, right now we've said, right, here's the clubs who have got the investment, the infrastructure, the ambition, the venues to move forward into the future. But now we get to co-create, design what that looks like. And it will be built for women and girls of the future.
A lot of questions have been raised about playing in big arenas for next season. And Fran Connolly, England Netball CEO, explained a little more.
As part of this new era, every franchise is required to take 2 matches to over 5,000 seater arenas in the first year. Over time, we want that number to grow. So over time, we want every match to be played in those big arenas. But it will take time to get to that stage and empower and inspire women and girls to show up and not just buy a ticket, but also take to court. And really importantly for us as a governing body, start playing more netball and being more active.
The Netball Super League from next season aims to be able to support athletes in making netball a viable career.
We do have people who are A&E doctors, GPs, there are students in their professional careers. So where we're launching from day one is we are introducing a new salary structure, reducing our squad sizes, we're improving the payment level, we are more than doubling the minimum pay and increasing the average salary by more than 60%. We're improving the programme. And by creating this new model of less clubs and smaller squad sizes, these athletes anyway are going to be playing in the best competition week in, week out. But we've got to make sure that there's choice in all of that. Choice, professional choice, educational choice, also choices to be mothers and to return to court. So we're trying to think of that whole piece. So absolutely, we want rewarding careers. Professionalisation is full-time athletes. But as we move through this transition, we can't take away what actually is really significant parts of some of our existing most talented athletes' lives.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor and you're listening to The Netball Show.
One of the teams included next season is London Pulse. Sam Bird is their CEO and they welcome the decision.
It's fair to say that we've been working towards professionalisation for the last 5 years. So we've already got some really good partners in place. We play at the Copper Box Arena on the Olympic Park. We're already producing big fan bases. So we had 3,500 fans come in to watch our game against Loughborough Lightning. But we really want to push on and we think this is the right thing to do with the professional process. We can't expect to produce world-class athletes if they're training in the morning, going to work all day, training at night, and then they're just pretty exhausted. So this is a fantastic opportunity for women and girls to see netball as a genuine career pathway in time to come.
Pam Cookies played for Team Bath and Surrey Storm, two sides that, despite a long history in the league, will no longer be a part of it moving forward. So how does Pamela feel that this new era of the sport will add to the game in the UK?
It just brings a whole new dimension that netball really needs. And I think we have the product to be able to deliver. It's now getting it more regularly seen and helping the players to be at their best every single week.
Cardiff Dragons' Nia Jones is delighted that they'll be part of things moving forward after such a strong season in 2024.
Competition for places was really, really hot. And I'm just so proud. It's a club that I supported growing up as a fan. So now that actually I get to stand here at the start of this new 10-year professionalisation journey, with the badge on my chest and know that we can really represent Wales in that really exciting new professional league is unbelievable.
Surrey Storm will no longer be a part of the league from next season. Still very raw for fans, coaches and all associated with the club. We asked Mickey about that first game and her memories playing for Storm.
My first game for Storm, you know, we was away to Manchester Thunder. It was on Sky. I didn't start. We was down at half time and I remember T saying to me, right, you're coming on at centre. And at that point in time, I was just so excited. I didn't really play with fear. I just played with freedom and it was great. And we ended up winning. And yeah, it was just the best feeling ever to be like, oh, you know, like these girls have surrounded me with nothing but belief in training, and I feel like I've paid that back in this game. And yeah, like I'll never forget that moment, and Don in the Storm dressed for the first time with my family name on the back.
And Mickey admits that over the years, Storm are always an ambitious club, taking events like Netball London like to the Copper Box and selling it out.
In my eyes, Storm has always been the front runner and the first franchise to do things and set the precedents. And, you know, with events like Netball London Live, we was the first franchise to ever really go big in an arena like the Copper Box. And I think it took 3 years for us to sell it out, and that was just phenomenal. And yeah, like our fans are ridiculously knowledgeable. They are so diehard. They have stuck with this franchise and me especially through the past season. And yeah, that's the reason why pretty much every one of my team talk alludes to the girls, you know, leaving this court with nothing but pride, so that these fans have got something to walk out of here feeling satisfied with. So yeah, Storm fans are a rare breed, and I'm pretty sure that any franchise would say that coming to Surrey Sports Park to play in front of them is pretty intimidating.
And some of those names that have played for Storm over the years at all levels has been incredible. And it's something that Mickey recognises.
You know, we've had some world-beating players play on this court, and Don in the Duck Egg Blue, you know, Jeeva Mentor, Sonia McCloma, Natalie Seaton, Becky Trippick, and just to name a few. We've got Rhianne McHale, and as all of the girls who are still playing in Super League now. You know, there's so many athletes that have gone through these courts, whether that be from an under 21 level as well. You know, I look across the NPL league now, and there's so many athletes that have played for Surrey Storm that are now in other franchises.
Team Bath also lost their franchise. Their head coach is Asher Francis.
It's been a rough few days, even though I've had the information for a while throughout the process. Tuesday was tough. I think there's a mixture there. You know, there's some who have a real connection to the badge, others who are, you know, here at university, and so there's just, it throws up a lot for them to have to think about, and it makes everything a little less secure than maybe that they thought they were if we were going to be a franchise moving forward.
Stephen Badley is the Director of Sport at the University of Bath.
I'm disappointed, above all, I think, for our fans. We've had emotional outpouring of love and support on social media this morning, showing how much it really means to so many people across the southwest. Of course, for the players who were told Tuesday night about this decision, and my staff, my netball staff, whose future is uncertain. So, yeah, that's my major disappointment. I have some concern about the future of netball across the southwest, but we're working with England Netball to try to make sure that the pathway and the underpinning activities are in place. But in terms of Team Bath Netball, yeah, a sad day.
And from what, obviously you've been involved in this process for a long time, but from what you've been told, you know, what's behind not including Team Bath in NSL 2.0?
Well, it was a competitive process, a very professional process. We put our case forward, but ultimately the decision, to a large extent, was based on the fact we don't have a 5,000-seat arena in the southwest that we could have an agreement with and be destined to be playing regularly in. So that was, to some extent, outside our control. We tried to put forward a plan that, in due course, we're hoping arenas will come online and that we could keep the franchise going here in Bath at Sports Training Village and move to an arena in due course. But in the end, there were 8 other bids that clearly the panel felt were stronger.
Somebody that's a member of Team Bath's Hall of Fame is Jess Thilby. Ahead of last week's announcement, we spoke to her about the future shape of the league and how she felt it'll help future Roses.
I think it feels like a bit of a crossroads for the sport, in particular in the UK. Like, I think it goes without saying the difference that it will make to a Roses team to be successful if we're able to make sure that we're enhancing what that domestic competition looks like in order that ultimately players have choice. You know, I obviously get to work with the very top group, which is unfortunate to do that. But even in this Roses space, you can see the pressures and demands upon athletes who in their own right are world class or have potential of being world class and are still having to, in my view, juggle too many things. And that comes at a big compromise sometimes, you know, whether that's their own health and well-being, which, you know, isn't okay, but also just in terms of like having to do one or the other, you know, work or netball. And I just think it is, now is the right time to make sure we're affording our best talent in this country to see netball as not just, you know, a hobby, but, you know, to be taken seriously, and it can be their day-on-day job. It's unimaginable what I think we can do if we can create those opportunities at domestic level, you know, for multiple teams across the country. It will inevitably have a knock-on effect to our ability to be successful on an international stage. And then I think it's just that it's a complete cycle then, you know, if we're successful, I'd like to think that enhances the profile of the game. At a domestic level, if we've got 8, 9, 10 full-time environments, you know, wrapping around the support that's needed to enable somebody to play and perform in the sport that they love, then that is also going to increase everyone's chances of success. So I think, yeah, I think 2024 is an exciting time. And look, professionalisation doesn't happen overnight.
So much has already been announced. So much is promised. More on that as and when we have it. But in the meantime, let's keep it in people's mind. Let's keep talking about the subject. A lot of people have a lot of questions that need to be answered on this. Feeder League, what happens to the pathways? You're more than welcome to email me, info@thenetballshow.co.uk, or send me a message on X, that's @thenetballshow. We have reached out to England Netball and are just awaiting their response. But in the meantime, thank you for your support.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky HD, Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sport and we're on the podcasts rail.